Okay, the discussion tonight is on white magic. Does anyone know what white magic is? What's the difference between white magic and black magic?
It's white.
Yeah.
White
is good, black is bad.
What else?
James, what's the answer?
Anybody got any other comments? What is the difference?
White magic
is magic just magic, or is there light and dark magic?
Magic is from the soul. And more outwardly focused, and dark magic is more.
Yeah, that's a really good way of putting it. The mistake people make is they say, well, there's certain things that are bad and certain things are good, certain symbols that are bad and certain symbols that are good. Like the five-pointed star is bad, and Star David is good. Does that make sense to you?
No.
Is any symbol really good or bad?
Well, it's probably, you know, has to do with how you use it.
Yeah. Well, for instance, the five-pointed star, they say, boy, that's a symbol of black magic. Well, boy, kids use five-pointed stars and drawing stars in school all the time, then what do we let kids even draw those stars for?
There's a bunch of them right there.
Yeah. Right.
That's right.
Yeah, there are five-pointed stars on our flag. Well, if it's upside down, then it's bad, you know. What's interesting about the swastika, for instance, it was seen as a symbol of good for thousands of years until Hitler got a hold of it. And all of a sudden now, boy, if you draw a swastika, that means you're totally evil. But does that mean the swastika itself is evil? It's a little bit like the cross. The cross is seen by millions of people as a symbol of good and of Christ and everything. But then black magic covens take the cross and they turn it upside down, and now all of a sudden the upside down cross is evil. Now Hitler did a little bit of this with a swastika. The swastika that was a symbol of good went counterclockwise. The lines on it, you know, the lines on the cross, Hitler's cross goes to the right, but on the ancient crosses, what symbolized good went to the left. The left symbolizes coming out of matter. Clockwise symbolizes the line, the path of least resistance. The easiest path to take is always clockwise. Counterclockwise symbolizes the path that's the more difficult to take. The path least traveled by, is talking about in the poem. So the original swastika goes to the left, and the one used by some esoteric people goes to the left, symbolizes coming out of matter. But what Hitler did is he changed the direction of the swastika to the right, which indicates that the path of least resistance. The path of least resistance brings the most immediate reward, but in the long run it brings the least progress. And so so Hitler did to the swastika what the Satanists did to the upside down cross. You know, I mean, the upside down cross and the upside down star, which is on our flag, as being a symbol of evil. Hitler went and turned the swastika into a symbol of evil. And the swastika is it's interesting, it was, until he came along, it was a symbol of good. It was even used by our forces in World War I. And some of our forces, some of our divisions used the swastika in World War I. So if it was evil, does that mean that we were on the evil side in World War I? So the interesting thing about symbols and anything connected with magic, it's really neither good nor bad. It's like money. Is money good or bad? If you take your money and you give it to some homeless guy, well, people think that's good use of money. On the other hand, if you use it to force people into child porn, well, that's a bad use of money. But money itself is neither good or bad. Symbols are neither good or bad. anything that has power is neither good or bad. It all depends on how it's put to use. So how everything is put to use determines whether or not it's good or bad. Now, as far as things that produce magical results can be good or bad, depending on how it's used. Now, white magic is something different in the fact that it can't really be used for bad. And why is that? What do you suppose? Got any idea?
It involves the soul.
Right, it involves the soul, and only people that are good in nature, with good intentions, and seek the higher ground in all things, can have soul contact. And thus, white magic is protected from evil because it is only done through contact with the soul. It's done through what we call the magical work of the soul. How does soul produce magic? What's magical about it? What's magic? Oh, yeah.
Could you before you actually ask that question, could you maybe explain a little bit about the word magic? What is magic? Is magic?
Well, magic is anything that seems like it's impossible for us to do with regular knowledge that we have available.
Super normal.
Yeah, if you were to go back in time and show somebody an iPod, they think that was pretty magical.
Would something like a chiropractic adjustment, where all of a sudden a person is out of pain after just doing this thing, would that appear to be magic? Or would that be magic?
Well, if it's something that can't be explained by normal chiropractic thought, you know, then could be considered magical.
Well, something from like an African tribe who's never...
This manipulation has been around forever. There's been people, bones...
Now, if you were to go back in time to the Middle Ages and do chiropractic work on a king, he may think, whoa, this is a magician.
Right.
You know.
Right.
Yeah, I never had this done before. You know. But in different types of medicine, there are magical things that happen that doctors... things happen the doctors can't explain. Every once in a while, you know, somebody gets really sick, family prays for them, and they have a magical recovery. And that's the work of the soul, because a miracle like that, through prayer, has to come through the soul. Now, we have two major divisions of matter. We have the higher spiritual spheres, and we have the material sphere here. And in between them, there's an interplay. And in this interplay is what we call soul energy. It's different than just the word soul itself. This is actual soul energy. And when we talk about the soul, we often are referring either to our higher self or to this interplay. Interplay of the physical reality and the world of spirit. And these two, like I say, interplay. And when our consciousness can tap into that interplay, that point, which is neither spirit nor matter, when we can tap into that, then the magical work of the soul can begin. It opens a door. It opens a door to the world of spirit. And when this door is open, then magical things can happen, things that defy normal explanation. And this is one of the first things we're going to do is talk just a little bit of, give a demonstration about this. There's a principle of white magic which talks about the magic occurs at that point where land, air, and water meet, which is neither wet nor dry. Can you imagine a place where land, water, and air meet? Now, it doesn't say where, but when. When land, water, and air meet, which is neither wet nor dry, there is a place where magic is to be wrought. Now, where is that place where land, water, and air meet, which is neither wet nor dry? Now, there's an esoteric place for this, but there's also a physical place, which we're going to show you right here. We're going to show you the physical place. which is neither wet nor dry, where magic will be wrought. Can you imagine where that might be?
We can hardly wait.
Okay. Where's that thing you give me, dear? Okay, we're going to show you some magic. Magic that occurs for land, water, and air meet, which is neither wet nor dry. We're going to need some water. Anybody got glasses of water?
Here.
Thank you, right there.
Okay, everyone knows what this is?
The
needle?
Do we need a duck?
And a needle is made of what?
Steel.
Steel. And does steel sink in water?
Yes.
Normally? Well, let's see what happens. We'll put this. Okay, now everybody gather around and watch this.
Is that just a piece of...
Yeah, it should sink in a minute. Yeah, the last one I put in sink.
It's never happened before.
There we go. Okay, come watch the magic.
Right.
The steel needle is floating. Now, where's the spot that's neither wet nor dry?
Right where the surface tension is, I guess.
Right. Right underneath the needle. Land, water, and air meet. The land is the needle. The we know what the water is, and then the air. It all meets. It's neither wet nor dry. There is a place where magic is to be wrought. And the magic in this case is a needle. Steel is floating on water.
Okay.